But let's talk about what some courts have done when they were faced with this issue, because there seems to be sort of a split of thinking developing.
Well, there aren't a lot of cases published about this yet, but I think it's percolating through the system. And I see two groupings of cases. There's one group that reads Fulton broadly, despite the fact that the Supreme Court stressed that it was only deciding Section 362A3. Some of these courts look at the analysis and say, well, 362A3 prohibits any act to, and if you go down 362A, various other provisions prohibit any act. And since it has to be an affirmative act in Section 362A3, it also has to be an affirmative act for A4 and A6 and the other provisions that require that prohibit any act to do something. One example of that is a case called In re Margovich, which comes out of the Middle District of Pennsylvania. In that case, there was a judgment creditor. It put a lien on the debtor's bank account. Debtor filed Chapter 13 and said, take it off, get rid of the lien, take it off. And the creditor said, no, I'm just maintaining the status quo. And the bankruptcy court took a look at the issue and went through the various provisions of the code and analyzed it by requiring an affirmative act in each provision. And what the court said is, you know, despite the language in the Supreme Court's opinion saying we're only deciding Section 362A3, the language is so similar in the other provisions that they all have to require an affirmative act as well. So there are several cases that read Fulton broadly despite what the Supreme Court said about only deciding 362A3. But there's a different case that I thought was very interesting because it also comes out of the Northern District of Illinois and it involves the same fact pattern that Fulton had. And this was an adversary proceeding seeking class action status. The plaintiffs in that case, same situation. They had cars that had tickets on them. They didn't pay their tickets. The city impounded the car. They said give them back. The city didn't. And so they filed an adversary proceeding and were seeking class action status. And in that adversary proceeding, they amended their complaint after Fulton to allege violations of 362A4, A6, and A7. And they were also, they had various other claims as well. The court in In re Cordova looked at Fulton and said, Fulton said narrow. Fulton was deciding A3. And if you look at Justice Sotomayor's concurrence, she's suggesting that other provisions could be violated by the actions the city was taken. And as a matter of fact, in that case, they added in a few wrinkles that weren't addressed in the Supreme Court opinion. The city of Chicago was taking the position that it had a statutory lien. So it's a secured creditor. And as a matter of practice, when they impounded the vehicles, the city of Chicago would tell the debtors, give me a big chunk of money, like $1,000. It had no relation to the value of the vehicle. Give me a lot of money and treat me as a secured creditor in your plan, and we'll give you the car back. That was their pattern. And the court in Cordova talked about it. And so when they looked at that situation with those facts in mind, they said, you're a secured creditor, or at least according to your allegations. And so on a motion to dismiss, they said the debtor has asserted a plausible claim that you have violated A4 and A6 of the bankruptcy code and refused to dismiss the complaint at that stage. Now, I have no idea how it will turn out, but that's a situation where they read the Supreme Court opinion narrowly, looked at the fact that the city was claiming secured status and said, look, you're trying to collect. You're trying to enforce your lien. You're violating the automatic stay, potentially, plausibly. And then we're gonna go forward with this action. They did not decide at that stage in the case whether or not to certify a class. That was, the Cordova came out at the end of 2021, so about 11 months after Fulton.
But among the cases that have been decided, Cordova is in the minority. But there's a case that at least caused me some heartburn. I don't know if the other judges would say that as well. But the In re Senso case, which is 638BR416, it's a BAP case out of the Ninth Circuit in 2022. Here are the facts. In that case, the district court issued post-petition an order finding that the debtor's predecessor in interest had taken title to the property subject to a lien, to a senior lien. And The district court made that finding, issued an order post-petition. So before we had Fulton, I think we would all say it's a post-petition order regarding an asset of the bankruptcy estate, because the debtor clearly had the asset. And it's specifically determining liens, the validity of liens against the asset. That kind of looks like that falls squarely within the language of 362A. But the analysis of the BAP post-Fulton was that that the district court's order, issuance of the order, post-petition did not change the status quo with the lien in their view, because the district court's order validated an existing lien. It existed before, so there was no status quo change, and it didn't affect the predecessor's possession or control over the property. Think about that, okay? Because as of the petition date, the lien rights of these senior creditors